I've been blessed this morning in the singing and the sharing that's been happening, and I've also been blessed just in being my time with in God's Word even earlier this morning, and to know about God's faithfulness, and to know that God is the source of everything that we really need, our deepest needs. And we've been, over the last while, we've been talking about marriages. And we're talking about importance of different elements in our marriages. And probably one of the biggest things that we started with was that security and oneness are some of the things that we desire in a marriage. You know, this last week has been an interesting week. I've had a lot to do with batteries. There were batteries that worked, there were batteries that didn't work. And then we had those wires that had bare spots on them, and they touched each other, and then they welded. And all kinds of things happen to batteries. Batteries are interesting if you think of it. I'm thinking specifically of car batteries. A car battery doesn't last very long unless you have a charging mechanism. You can't drive very far. It won't run very long. Batteries lose their charge if they're not used. If they're not used, they will actually lose their charge. A battery will always need an outside source for it to be charged. It does not charge itself. The best thing for a battery is a good charging system. If they die, you have to jump start them. In the past couple of weeks, we've looked at marriages, and we've used the I promise. And we said that we promised, I promise to conform my belief to God's truth. In other words, recognizing that there's things in our lives that they become beliefs in our lives through a variety of means, but they may not be in line with God's truth. And that way they affect our marriage. Today, I want to look at the promise. Promise number two. I promise to be filled by God. If we think of this whole aspect of batteries, then I think we could really say that marriage, like a battery, needs to have an outside source if it is to stay charged. A marriage that is to be alive and well and growing needs to have an outside source. Fully charged. We want to have a fully charged marriage. A fully charged battery is a result of an alternator that is working well. The alternator is the external power source, and there is just no way to charge that battery without an external source. Why did you get married? This section over here, why do you want to get married? Okay, it's not sharing time, so you don't have to answer. Why did we want get married? Most of us would say that in some ways marriage would enrich our lives, it would complete our lives. Many, many times when we talk about marriage, the word happiness comes in. We all want to be happy. Yet each of us would define happiness differently. What does it mean to be happy? We would have our own definition. Now that starts a little bit of a problem right there. But if we were to define happiness as I got married because I wanted to find my soulmate, my very best friend, as good as that sounds, you're actually setting yourself up for failure. Actually, you may have years of frustration with that type of a mindset. Why? Shouldn't my spouse, my husband, my wife be my best friend? Shouldn't we be happy? Yes, that we should. But you see what happens if your happiness is connected to your spouse. Then when your spouse does not fulfill your expectations, or marriage as a whole does not fulfill your expectations, you begin to question yourself. Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my spouse? Because they are not meeting that need. And you actually, and we hear it quite often, I think I married the wrong person. You begin to question it. Did I marry the right person? A very high percentage of people will rate having a happy marriage as the most important objective in life. Having a happy marriage is the number one objective in life. And that's probably natural, because that is the most fulfilling, most intimate, most peaceful. That's where you want that. You want your home to be that. You want that relationship with someone. But there's a very, very subtle error that comes in here. The subtle error is that it's about me. It's about me. I'm happy. I need to be happy. I need my needs met. Notice the word my. And that's the subtle error, that we begin to say it's about me. Husbands, did your wife ever come to you at breakfast and say, just hold off, I am so full of all your affection and all your love, you know, don't give me any more? Probably rarely, right? You see, we don't generally live that much for the other person. If you depend on your partner to charge your battery, then you will begin to lose power. If you want a satisfying marriage, you're going to have to forget about happiness. That's not saying that you shouldn't be happy, but the truth is that happiness never comes when happiness is the goal. Think about that. Happiness never comes if happiness is the goal. Happiness is a byproduct. And when you make it the goal, you become very, very frustrated. We will find that the source, we all want to have our deepest needs met. We do that. We want to live fulfilled lives. But if our happiness, or that deepest need in our life, the person that fills that, if that person is anyone other than God, you will be frustrated, and whoever you are depending on to be that to you will be frustrated. Only God can charge both batteries. And God wants to us to have a full battery. He wants us to have a full life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. You see, God didn't intend for us to go through life with a half-charged battery, or a battery that isn't much good. I don't like going to a vehicle and wondering, is it going to start? If you, before you even enter or walk up to it, you're already wondering, is it going to start? That's not a lot of faith in your battery. And I did that last night to my camper van sitting out back, and it didn't start. It proved my prophecy. It does. If you don't have something that you can depend on, it's frustrating. God doesn't want you to have that frustration, but only He can be that source. Notice the words that Paul uses. We're going to start reading at verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Notice the words that Paul uses in this verse. He says, glorious riches. That doesn't sound very poor. That He may strengthen you with power in the inner man by His Spirit. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Folks, there's richness there. There's fullness there. There is your deepest need being met. Being met by someone who's never going to run out. Being met by someone who's never going to disappoint you. If that is your power source, what an incredible difference in all of your relationships. Now we're talking about marriages, but this goes for any friendship. This goes for any relationship. If in your relationships God is number one and He is the source, then you are a person that can give to others. And as you give, you also will receive, and it's reciprocal. While it's true that we need an outside charge and that only God is a limitless power source, there's also the truth that two batteries are better than one. Two batteries are better than one. I had to actually study this a bit because I don't do well with electrical stuff. It never works for me. There's always a ground that something or something's wrong, but I understand that if you take 2 6-volt batteries, and I will look at my word here carefully so I don't mislead someone. Yeah, you hook them up in a series. If you hook 2 6-volt batteries in a series, then you get 12 volts. Because 2 6s equal 12. If you hook up two batteries, 2 6-volt or 2 12-volt batteries, and you hook them up parallel, then you still only have 12 volts. But now you have much more strength because you have 2 12-volts. Two batteries, regardless of how you hook them up, give you more power. They give you much more power. If you hook them up wrong, it sparks. If you hook them up right, it gives you either double voltage if that's what you need, or it gives you more amperage if that's what you need. If you think of this in the relationship of marriage, it is the connecting of two people. God saw that two batteries were better than one. He saw that two people were better than one. God is the triune God. So He knows the fellowship in community. And we have that in Genesis chapter 2, where it says that the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It's not good for him to be alone, all by himself. Ecclesiastes later says that two are better than one. When one falls, the other can help him up. If it's cold, they can keep each other warm. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And he goes on to show us the strength in numbers. As Moses records the creation, it says that now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. When you hook up on your wedding day, you will still both remain individuals. As much as we would like to have the other person melt into something that we would like them to melt them into, you don't. You remain individuals. Two batteries. But you've increased the spark. The charging system has to still remain God. Eve was not given to Adam as a substitute for God. Right? Eve was not given to Adam as a substitute for God. God was still to be the source of all of their fellowship and all of their needs. And in the cool of the day, they met with God. God designed us to be in love with Him first of all. To walk in obedience to Him and then to love others. We see that in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, where Jesus, the teachers of the law come to Him and they've been talking about different things. And He wants to know which is the greatest commandment. Probably thinking of the Ten Commandments or one of the laws that they had written out. But Jesus says this, that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God." And notice the alls. If you mark your Bible, mark these alls, because that doesn't leave room for anyone else. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength." There's nothing left for anyone else, is there? God desires and wants all of us. If He gets all of us, then all of a sudden, the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, that's it. Period. No more need for the Ten Commandments. No more need for anything else if we could live this out in perfection. That God would be the source of everything. And then, interestingly, God comes in, fills us to overflowing, and then we have love to give to others. And our wedding day, then we say, God gets all my love, all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. Now I can love you. Now I can say I do. Because now I have something to give. When we get married, we just take our love for God and we extend it to one other person in our life. You've seen the triangle. You know it's there. We have the husband and the wife with God at the apex. And you can see what happens if you see that as husband and wife get closer in their relationship with God, they also get closer to each other. Can I talk to you that are not married this morning? When the Bible says that you are to date a believer, another person of like faith, this is the reason. If you are dating someone who is not a believer, then later on, should you get married, you may be getting closer to God and look what's happening. This distance is getting greater. The closer you get to God, the further away you will get from your partner. That's why it doesn't work to marry someone who is not a believer. If both are walking with God and draw closer to God, they draw closer together. But when one is not walking with God, then you get further apart. Even in a marriage, even in a Christian marriage, it is often the case that a husband or a wife will grow or not grow. And those things are also seasons in our lives. But where there is a difference, one may be here and the other one here. And that causes tension in a marriage relationship. But do you know that God can still use that? You see, we are each on an individual journey to God. Marriage does not marry us spiritually. Just because one is a believer doesn't mean the other one will automatically become a believer. Neither does it say that just because one is growing, the other one will automatically grow. What's beautiful and what God designed and desired for marriage is that marriage actually becomes the workshop where God makes us holy, helps us to grow. As husband and wife, they grow together spiritually. It becomes a mutual encouraging and prodding each other on to keep growing and to keep strengthening. It's also true that if one is growing more than the other, and sometimes we go through stages of lives or we are in a situation where one is not growing and the other one is, God uses the response of the committed believer, how he or she responds in difficult situations. God uses that to show the other person what Christ is like. Marrying a non-believer is kind of like having a diesel truck with two batteries. And so you want to sell the truck, and you don't want to put two new batteries in, so you just put one new battery in. Doesn't work when they're hooked up in parallel, does it? You ever tried that? Had that experience? Your best battery is only the strength of your worst battery. You cannot draw your partner along. Only God can do that. Only God can create the new. Only God is the one who can keep it charged. How do you maintain a charge? We know that a battery has to have constant charging. To maintain a healthy battery, it must be used. I remember a friend of mine who bought a brand new battery and didn't need it right away. And so he put it downstairs, and I was there, I happened to be there when a year later he now needed it. And it was totally shot. Wouldn't hold a charge, couldn't do anything. That battery had never been used, and it was useless. Folks, what requires a battery to be charged other than not using it? It's when you kick in the starter, turn on the lights, turn on the air conditioning. It's something that draws on it. In your relationship with each other, you will always be drawing on the other person, drawing from the other person. You will do that by saying the wrong word. You will do that by having a wrong facial expression. You will do that by forgetting something. An anniversary might be a fairly important thing to forget. But it draws a lot of volts. Who's going to recharge that? Your credit card ain't going to do it. It'll help. But what's going to draw it if you're just depending on each other? What's going to charge this big draw that you have made? Do you see how this... Do you see how this becomes a continual circuit? It's a parallel. It's hooked up to God, and the lights and the air conditioning and the starting, all of it is used, and it keeps going around and around and around, and it stays healthy. Conflict in marriage is normal. The big draws on power, they're normal. They will happen. But what do you do with it? Allow God to maintain the charge. I love Philippians chapter 1. Paul writing to the Philippians, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." It doesn't come through your church. It doesn't come through your partner. It comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, all marriages are... We're human. And we possess a mixture of good and not so good attributes, attitudes, patterns, behaviors. Just dealing with our marriages and our imperfections day by day allows God to make us more like Christ. Your partner, with all of their mistakes and imperfections, God wants to use them to make you more like Himself. We become more like Christ by simply serving each other. Serving that is generated by love. You have to remember Ephesians 3, we cannot outgive God. We can never have such a draw on our battery that God is not going to be capable of filling it. No matter how much of His love and blessing you give away, you will always get more in return. You cannot outlove God. You say, "Well, you don't know my spouse." I don't need to, because I know God. You cannot outlove God. You cannot outgive God. It's impossible. You become a channel for God's blessings. You become that circuit that keeps going. It keeps going to God for a charge, and then it keeps giving. So, I think it's a good promise to make. I promise to be filled by God. I promise to be filled by God. He is my outside source. He is my power source. A battery that needs an outside power source, it will die. A marriage needs God at the pinnacle, at the apex, or it too will die. If we promise to be filled by God, then we take an incredible amount of pressure off our spouse. The pressure to meet our many needs. If we're dependent upon for something that we can never even begin to fulfill, that drains us. That drains us. And eventually it brings it to a point of a dead short, and everything fries. God never designed us, just like He didn't create Eve to replace Him. God never designed us to meet each other's deepest needs. That's His job. To depend on others for what only God provides puts an impossible pressure on a relationship. When God is the power source for our charge, for our deepest needs, if He's the power source or the source for our happiness, then we will begin to experience oneness and security between a husband and a wife. That will come, security, oneness, that deep intimacy. It comes when our relationship with each other is rooted in our relationship with God. When husband and wife promise that they will look to God as the only source for their fulfillment, and then they enfold their mate in their relationship with God. Where's your relationship with God? That's the place where it'll start, with your relationship with each other. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You are adequate. We thank You that we never are disappointed when we are connected to You. Father, our marriages, we're living them out in our humanness. And in our humanness, we initiate some incredible drains on our spouses. A power surge. And Lord, if we're not connected to You, then slowly but surely our marriages die. I ask, Lord, that You will fill us with Your fullness today. And out of that fullness, we will love our spouses. We will love our children. We will love each other. Every relationship we have will overflow out of our relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen.